Forever! Dog!
Look, man.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Hi.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Hello, everyone. This is Matt, and we have a very special episode today with literally Shangela. I just recorded the episode with her. I am fully gagged. I saw A Star Is Born last night. I am also going tonight. I am also going tomorrow night. I am also going Sunday. There is a story behind why I'm seeing it four times. Do I have a sick disease? Yes. But I'm very excited. The movie is absolutely fantastic. The conversation with Shangela, I cannot wait for you to hear. However, I did just want to get on here really quick and say it is just going to be me with Shangela on this episode because Bowen is what? Working this week. Now, I know some people have been reaching out and asking some questions about, you know, Bowen with his new job, which if you don't know what it is, you can look it up, bitch. But I know there's been some questions about what's going to go on with Las Culturistas. Las Culturistas stays exactly the same. Bowen is still the Las Culturista that he has always been, or La Culturista, if you're going to hound me for my grammar, you vultures. But, you know, we just really wanted to get Shangela while we could. And the nature of his schedule now is we're going to be recording on his off weeks. So, of course, there were some stuff throughout the rest of the year that I'm going to have some sisters co-host with me. Did some really, really fun episodes up in Toronto with Dave Mazzoni. And I'm super excited that Joel Kim Booster is going to be hosting my next show in LA, I Don't Think So Honey Live, at the Region on December 5th. So, but that should really be it. Otherwise, Bowen is still around. I know all my diehard Bowen fans are like clamoring for their beau. I am also clamoring for your beau. He's also my beau. But I had to get Shangela while she was available. The woman is on a 181 city tour doing literal press all over the world for A Star Is Born. So I was so gagged. I'm sitting here with HBJ. He is shaking his head because he can't believe that we got her. We had to get her. This is such a fun, fun, fun episode. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. So here we go. Here's me with literally Shangela LaQuifa Wadley. Okay. Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling, and oh boy, can I tell you, we rented a breather for this moment. We are in Union Square. I traveled to the talent today because this is, I actually am pretty gagged that we even have you because this person is in the middle of a 181 city tour. Now, I don't think you guys might remember how many days are in a year, roughly 365, potentially 366 if you fall on the leap. But that's a lot. This is a busy human being also doing international press for, I think, the film of the year. And I have to tell you, listeners, I did go last night and it is as good as you've heard. It is stunning. It is unbelievable. A Star Is Born. You also know my guest, clearly, from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 2, Season 3, All Stars 3. We know we've been around the RuPaul's Drag Race block. But this is truly an honor to welcome Shangela to Las Culturistas.
Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so happy to be here. Yes.
There's never a time that you say hallelujah that I'm not cracking up laughing. I think it's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, well, good, because I say it a lot.
So you do.
We're gonna be laughing all day then. I love that.
It didn't sneak into A Star Is Born.
It didn't, because, you know, I was, you know, trying to be a professional. It was the
right
character. I'm like, this is the character. However, you will find the word professional. You may want to listen for that one.
Professional. She didn't want to lose her liquor license. I saw your action.
Thank you, baby.
I was like, let's stay in business. This is what this woman is feeling. I have to tell you, like, couldn't have anticipated this movie more. It is beyond, I think, what I could have expected, not only in how great it is, but how much you guys are in it. Like, you and Willem have big parts in this movie. Like, what was, when you got the script, or if there even was a script, because I'm hearing now a lot of it was improvised, did you think, wow, we're in this thing?
No, there 100% was a script.
Yeah.
And, you know, the great thing about it is you never know what's going to end up in the final cut.
Of course.
And so I really didn't tell a lot of people about it. I was thrilled. I was thrilled when we shot it.
Yeah.
But I've been in situations before. I shot a role in a film called R.I.P.D.
Right.
And I sent mom, I was like, Mom, I'm in this movie. And she called me afterwards. She go, baby, you ain't in that movie.
Oh, shit.
I said, no, Mom, I'm in drag. Duh, you probably didn't recognize me. She's like, baby, I know you. You are not in that movie.
I'm familiar with you
yeah,
in drag.
Exactly. So I didn't tell a lot of people about it because you never know what's going to make it.
Of course.
But in the end, when I first saw it last week in London, I was like, oh, we up in this?
Yes.
And I was thrilled because, you know, the script was really, really well written.
Yeah.
But also when we got to set, Bradley was like, Bradley Cooper, Mr. Bradley
of
Cooper.
Of course,
yes.
Mr. Cooper, Mr.
In his
director.
Directorial debut.
Yes.
Debut, he was super knowledgeable about what he wanted and it created this great scene. But he also said to me, you know, Shangela, I know you know this world. Mm-hmm. Feel free to go there. And if I feel the need to pull you back, I will.
Right.
And baby, I went there because it's a drag bar scene, 181 nights a year. Okay.
Yes, okay.
So it was so much fun.
That was your turf.
Girl, let's do this.
Whose idea was it for you to serve full executive realness while you were doing the numbers at the end of the night? Because that was hearkening back to your relationship with Chi Chi Devane on All Stars 3 and your glasses and your whole getup.
Yeah. Well, we filmed that well before All Stars 3, but it did give a nod to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say, in the character, when you're working with hair and makeup, and they had a great wardrobe and hair and makeup team. I actually did my own makeup for the film, but the hair team came with a couple options. And when they showed me that little short rib Rihanna cranberry piece that I have on in the film, I said, huh.
Yes.
Well, and I had to say, you ain't defending Shangela. This is the drag bar owner. This is not Shangela.
She's working.
This ain't, you know, me and my good old Beyonce coif, because I love a Beyonce coif. But this is a working woman. And this is, and it gave a very, the look was very cabaret, you know, with the hat and the leotard and the jacket, Britney Circus kind of feel.
Yes,
so
Britney
I was
Circus.
Like, okay, I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And look, when you got a mug like this, mama, you can pull off a little pussy cat.
Absolutely. Pull it off the face. Yes. Let's see it shine.
I was giving you Monet exchange realness.
The pussy cat wig. Would we call that a pussy cat wig? Or that was more of like a sort of Mary J. Blige
Well,
fantasy.
Willem calls it a bus driver. So I don't know. I ain't rode a lot of buses. Is the bus still running is what I want to know.
Is it? Okay, so listen. So you're on set and this is the scene. This when you're doing the numbers and Willem has his titty signed. It's a spoiler alert. This will come out in a week or so. So they'll all have seen them. I know my listeners and they're out seeing A Star Is Born.
Fabulous.
Currently. But this scene where he starts singing and you guys are sitting there and you're listening to him sing. That had to be the gag because he's truly doing it.
Well, yeah. And there was so much live performance in this film.
Yeah.
And even on the days that we were shooting there, it was amazing. It was like being front row for a free Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga concert.
Truly.
Like she, when she was doing La Vie en Rose, she would sing it. Of course, she's singing it live. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the playback, but she's singing it live. And they would say, okay, we're going to go again. And I was like, yes, thank you.
Go
again. Please go again. And they did. And it was great. It was like front row tickets.
Yeah.
And then when Bradley's doing his part, he has such a great presence.
So good.
Like, he's just like, you know, he's Bradley Cooper and he's gorgeous, but he's also sweet. And then he's in this character, Jackson Maine.
Yeah.
And he's there with the guitar. And you're just like,
yeah,
swoon.
You're swept away.
Yes, yes.
You can see it on your guys' faces. I mean, Willem's like mouth is dropped. Like,
girl, I had to tell, if I was thinking, if this woman throws her panties at the stage, I'm going to leave. I'm just going to get up and leave. I'm going to have to leave.
And we believed that it would happen. We had Willem in the studio a couple weeks ago. Now I know with Willem, anything is possible.
True.
Truly.
True. I don't even want to go there with what happened, but I can just say true.
So were you a fan of Bradley Cooper's before this? Because I'm like, to know that he's this talented is one thing, but I was also just like, he was in my top five, as we say.
Yes.
Like crushes.
Well, you're talking about one of the sexiest men alive.
Truly.
Okay. It's been named. It's been said.
Yes.
And also his ability as an actor is fantastic.
Yeah.
Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah.
Even him as a comedy actor in The Hangover and those films. I've always been a huge fan of his as well. And then to be a part of his directorial debut.
Truly.
He was just so professional, but also very like warm. He created an environment where he wanted you to be able to do your best work.
Yes.
And that was really, as an actor, that was like, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And something I really liked about the whole drag bar scene was this is this guy who's a country legend and he stumbles into this drag bar, But there's really no comment from him or from anyone of like, oh, it's a drag bar. You know right. what I mean? He's just there and he's getting to know everybody. Sure, he's like drunk or whatever. But it did feel like something we haven't seen before where there was no comment on the fact that this is a drag bar. These are gay people. It's just like he was there enjoying everything. Can you speak a little to that? Like what that was like? And really watching it, it really just feels very celebratory and very loving towards the gay community, which I'm sure was important to Gaga and must be important to you.
Yeah, it was very that. And it's funny you say that because you're right. We don't see that a lot on screen, in films and in television. But my experiences in person with people, especially even straight men that come to our shows, and because of RuPaul's Drag Race, we have families that watch the shows, and women come with their husbands who they're like, me and him watching, we were so mad you didn't win. You know, that is a part of my life. So to see that, it gave this real authentic feel as well to the film. And I love the way that it's written in there that he, you know, drag a lot of times the punchline in movies past. I think it's very refreshing to see where we're going, where writers are being more aware that this is sometimes just the experience.
Yeah.
This is a slice of life. And I think that's what he was having, just a slice of life experience. And I hope it inspires people on how to treat people that you may not be necessarily familiar with, that particular community. It's not always a joke. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
And you just go in there, you experience it, you accept people for exactly who they are, and we keep it moving.
And I think that's what I mean by like I was so, you guys have such a big part in this movie because you go to movies like this, like, and as a gay person and as someone who's like loves drag and like, but you go and you hear Chandra and Willem are in the movie and then you watch it and you guys are real characters in the movie. You appear later on in the movie.
Okay, she had a comeback.
I was like, she got a fourth scene out of this. But it's just so, it was so great to see. And like, obviously that's a throwback or a callback to Gaga's own life, which her drag friends and her community that she came up through is so important to her. So I guess my question is, like, did she also sort of like, what was she like to work with in that back room? Like, was she very down to earth, or was it what, there was no airs about her? She was just back in that old zone.
Let me lay it down for you, honey. Because you know, I love Lady Gaga. I'm a fan first before even being, you know, a star in the film with her, a co-star in the film with her. So I was thrilled to be able to work on set with her. And then when I found out, you know, that she had kind of handpicked me for this role, I was like, okay, I don't want to mess this up. So working with her in the back room, you talk to Gaga for like 30 seconds and you automatically feel like, oh, this is my homegirl. We're best friends. Then you realize, okay, I don't have her cell number, so maybe we're not best friends.
Well, are we at the Stephanie level?
Oh, no, honey. No. But I will say.
we can claim to be at the Stephanie level.
I love the Gaga level. I love that. You know, I want to pay all homage and worship to the Gaga.
Yeah.
But working with her was such a pleasant, fun experience. You know, when they would call cut between scenes, I would think, you know, okay, she's going to go with her entourage to the trailer and wait. No, she kicked it in the dressing room with us. And she was like, so Shan, how are you?
Really?
Shan. And I was like, oh, I'm good, LG, Miss Gaga, you know? And, you know, in that moment, I was like, well, honey, entertain the queen. I felt like a jester at the court. Right. So I was like, girl.
The heat is on.
Sister, I started telling story left and right, you know, and just asking questions. I felt like the Oprah. I know she's like, oh, Lord, she's going to get this queen shut up. But I was just so excited to be there with her. But also as an actress, she's so, she's very focused and dedicated to the role and to herself in doing it. You can see when they're caught action, she's prepared, she's ready. It makes you want to pull up and be a better actor as well.
Anyone that, like, I think there was, like, when it first was announced, there were some, like, doubts, like, oh, Lady Gaga's going to do a movie and it's going to be this big deal. Like, we've seen A Star Is Born so many times. Bradley Cooper's first time directing. There were so many question marks. But I said to myself, I was like, anyone who doubts Lady Gaga at all is not a fan because you've seen her over the years, like, reinvent herself so many times, like, come back against everything. I mean, you see in the documentary the struggles that she deals with. It's like, this woman is unbeatable.
Well, and I think that I attach to her even personally also as a fan in that way, because a large part of my experience is, especially with RuPaul's Drag Race, has been go, get told no, come back, get better, go, get told no, that's all right. Come back. Mm-hmm. Get better. And I think she continues to exceed people's expectations as well with big things like Coachella and the Super Bowl and just so many amazing things that she's done. It really makes you be like, you know what? I can do that too.
Yeah.
She's very inspirational.
I think that the way you say that about her, I do think that people feel that way about you. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited to have you here, because I do think that you are such like an example of queer excellence.
Oh, well, thank you.
That I really think that and just excellence in general. You know what I mean? Like that people, like for example, in the finale of All Stars 3, when you did your verse, me and all my friends are watching in the bar. We got emotional. We really did, because it's like when you said, "No, I got the whole world screaming hallelujah."
Yes.
I was like, "You know what though? She does. 181 cities, bitch. I mean, that's nothing to scoff at." And to think about where you started, where you come in and you're the first one knocked out of RuPaul's
Girl,
Drag Race.
You remember season 2, I came in the door with a dream and no makeup
and
on.
Was there not a stitch of makeup?
No, yes, I had some.
Just a base layer.
You know, baby, I thought I was being daytime fish. You know, I gave a little light dusty beat.
Honestly. But then, so you come back the next season, and I thought you were great on that season.
Well, thank you. But even at that point, I'd only been doing drag for
one year.
Mm-hmm. I was super brand new, but I felt like RuPaul had brought me back. I was the first person brought back from another season to compete again.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, he's invested in me. I've really got to pull up on this and do a good job. And so I was like stressed, but I wanted to do well. And I wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I kept pushing, girl. I got another no, but I
you
kept
gotta.
Pushing.
So was the box your idea?
The original box, when I come in the Christmas box, was the production team's idea. Uh-huh. That was all World of Wonder. They're like, it's a Christmas episode and we want you to jump out. And I was like, ready. But they didn't put any breathing holes in that thing.
Oh, shut
girl,
up.
I was just in there sweaty and hot. I was like, come on, Rue. But it was fun, though.
So the energy was Shangela energy and also I'm extremely hot energy.
True. Yeah. Thank you. And you know, since then, no box has been safe. I mean, I was holiday box, mailing box. I think children are afraid to eat out of cereal boxes.
Yeah,
honey.
You never know. That could be a honestly cereal branding idea. I'm looking over at the team. They're obviously on their phones typing down, yes, cereal brand.
There you go.
That's you guys are on this. Charlie's on this. Perfect.
Instead of Wheaties, we'll have Wiggies.
Yes, okay,
yes,
Wiggies.
Yes. Hallelujah hoops. Yes.
Hallelujah hoops. This is your machine. So then you go back, years pass, and you cultivate Shangela, and you become like this kind of like sort of this is, I feel good saying, like sort of like a modern drag legend in a way that you are out there all the time. All Stars 3, you come in and you are slaying. It doesn't end up going your way for reasons that you could attribute to just them wanting to put on a fun show and like having it be the voting or whatever from the other contestants, but you know you slay. So when you think about it now, do you look back on it kind of just like, and that was just, are you disappointed that you didn't win? Or are you looking at it like that's a reality show and they're going to pull the stunts they're going to pull? They're going to do what they want to do. How are you looking back on All Stars 3?
Well, in the moment when we filmed it last year, right after that final episode, when I didn't get voted by the other girls to go from the 4 to the top 2 to lip sync, I was like super disappointed because I just put so much into coming back and I felt like this will be like the icing on the cake. If I can win this, if I get that lip sync, you know, I had a Wrecking Balls number 100 that was going to wreck the balls.
I was so
ready.
Curious to know what you would have done because you had stunts galore. And the lip syncs were so on
point. Ready for stunts, tricks, shows, and extra. I was going to give it. So when I didn't get the chance, that's all I wanted was the chance to show like I totally could do this. It hurt, but what I learned in looking back at the season, and even in, I processed all that after we filmed it and then kept working. That's all.
Yep.
Because I'm accustomed to not getting the crown. So, and I've been working since season 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. You just keep going out there and you keep pushing and you keep letting people know you can be a queen without having a crown. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't have to have that crown to be the queen. So that's what I wanted to do. I went right back to work. And then when I saw it and saw how it all played out on All Stars, I'm so thankful. I was like so gracious and I am so just sometimes in awe about how many fans really attached to my story. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, because I didn't win, they're going to not feel as inspired as I wanted them to be. But that I hear from people that has still inspired them. You know, you taught me how to not give up, to keep coming back. And even though you didn't win, you didn't like fall apart.
Yeah.
Now you're on a 181 city tour, which is the largest single tour of any Drag Race contestant in history for 1 year. And I'm continuing to get out there. And now Here to a Star is born, which is also amazingly awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking back at it, I wouldn't have changed anything.
Yeah.
Maybe the very ending.
Yeah, right. Like if we had won, I'm sure we still would have, you know, booked the Star is Born. And right. You did it before, right?
But I came back to have fun.
Yeah.
And I came back and I made some memorable moments in TV. And I got to finally be the drag queen that I always envisioned myself able to be.
And that audience, especially the new VH1 audience, now gets to see that.
Yes. Now that was really cool.
To enjoy you at Shangela Diva level.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. And it also is kind of like, in a macro sense, it's kind of a thing of like, you know what, y'all, life isn't fair. Sometimes you could deserve it and it doesn't always go your way.
Baby, that's the story of my entire life. You got to think, as many highs as I've had in my life, I've also had a lot of low points. Mm-hmm. You know, working in Hollywood, you get told no a million times. I could only tell you how many things that I've been like, okay, this is it. This is my moment. Finally, it's going to break through. And then all of a sudden, it just disappears. And you're like, okay, but you got to keep going. I broke a leg on stage in New York in 2012.
I remember this.
Honey, I went up for a leap in helicopter death drop. And you know, I know the death drop. I taught it to the kids on Dance Moms, okay?
You know how to execute the death drop. We've seen it done.
Exactly. And I came down and released the leg early for some reason and land on it, broke the tibia and fibula in my right leg.
Oh, the tibia and the fibula.
Honey, that could be twins, drag twins.
Yes, absolutely.
Tibia
your
and
drag
fibula.
Daughters, if you, at least, we need you to call in. Today, tibula fibula, we have names for you. Or tibia,
we did tibia fibula. And I had to have a titanium rod put in the leg with two screws in the knee and two in the ankle that I still have to this day. Yes, but I remember being in the hospital here in New York. I was at Lenox Hill. Mm. You know, that's where Beyonce gave birth to baby Blue.
So the good hospital.
Thank you, Blue Cross Blue Shield.
So, oh my God, same.
Yeah, I coordinate, girl.
But I'm on the essential plan. I don't have Shangela money.
That's that PPO. Yeah. I had just qualified, actually, in the Screen Actors Guild for insurance October 1st.
Yeah.
I never broke anything before. And then October 31st, I broke the leg. So I was very thankful for that. But I came back. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to go through physical therapy. I was on a walker. I was on crutches. I was on a boot. But I didn't give up.
Yeah.
And now this year, I'm still able to death drop and safely and turn the party in cities on pretty much almost every continent except Antarctica.
Right. Okay. So literally, Antarctica has to be a destination now at this point.
Yes, it is.
We must perform in Antarctica.
Honey,
now.
I've already looked it up. There's a National Geographic cruise that goes from the tip of Argentina down to Antarctica, but you can only go during the months where it's, never warm, but you know, seasonal for travel to Antarctica.
Okay.
And they'll let 12 people off the boat at a time. And I'm going to do my little happy feet number. One day, not this year, because it has to be like, the season is like between, I think, late November through like February.
When Antarctica's nice.
Yes, tropical.
Lovely.
Yes, honey, yes.
Okay, well, I guess I have to get a ticket, Joe.
No, you can't go before me though. I'm trying to get in the Guinness Book of World Records for the first drag entertainer to ever perform on all 7 continents.
Jeez.
And I just got one more to go. That's
okay.
Antarctica.
I mean, here we go. Do you have a favorite city that you perform in? That's got to be like...
Yeah, well, they're different around the world. Yeah. We were talking earlier. I love Toronto. You know
love
that.
Toronto.
I love Brazil. Everywhere in Brazil. Mm-hmm. I love... I'm going to some places for the first time. Australia and London, they're always great. But... I'm going to be in New Zealand for the first time in December,
mm-hmm.
Hong Kong, Bangkok, Singapore, some places in Australia, like Canberra, I've never been. So I have a new 1-hour stand-up comedy show called Shangela Is Shook.
Uh-huh.
So yes, honey, I'm shook this year. So
yes.
I'm going to be taking it there and really excited.
So what are we talking about in the show? Is it All Stars 3 related? Is it?
The show is kind of a roadmap recap of All Stars 3, but it also talks about some other hilarious, fun stories and anecdotes that we get in there too.
Cool. That's amazing. So just like, because I think it's good for people to hear, you're someone who, when there's something in your way or there's something going down, like that's maybe negative or like there's something, you are a worker, you work through it.
Yeah, you have to push. What I learned early in my life is that if you don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get out there and go to work. My mom was a worker. She's a military veteran. When she came back, she was a single mom. And I watched her have 2, sometimes 3 jobs at a time, even to the point where one time time, like she had taken a night shift to make extra money for us. And she was like filling vending machines, and she would like load up that little dolly with like cases of Cokes. And I would go with her sometimes, and she'd be like, no, go home. You have school in the morning. I'm like, no, I want to help you.
Yeah.
So I've always seen that in my life. I was the first in my family to go to college in Dallas. And then I moved out to LA to be an actor. And when I quit working in corporate world to be a drag queen.
You worked in the corporate world?
Oh, honey, I was PR fish for TGI Fridays.
You got to be kidding.
Yes, Sesame Jack chicken strips.
You were out there spreading the good word about the Sesame Jack.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. But, you know, even at that time, yeah. I still knew that I wanted to be an entertainer. We would have an annual Halloween party. And they put me in charge. Well, they used to have a costume contest, but I turned it into a pageant.
Of course.
Gay. You know the gays,
you
honey. We
gay
get in a job.
We have those intrinsic gay interests and like
totally.
Instincts. And
yeah.
They win.
Honey, I had pulled people from finance and accounting to be on my in my squad for my talent number. I did Bringing Sexy Back as Michael Jackson Zombie.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I won. And I remember at the time, the CEO of TGI Fridays, mm-hmm. Richard Sneed, he wanted to do an Elvis number. Well, he found the gay to help him get it. Yes. So I helped him get his Elvis drag together. But then he told me after seeing me in the show, he goes, look, you're great here. Love you here. Mm-hmm. But if you ever have the passion, you should really consider pursuing a career in entertainment. Mm-hmm. You'd be really good.
Yeah.
And now is probably the time you should do it. So I'm not telling you to leave us.
Right.
But he was just saying, if that's in your mind, ever something you wanted to pursue, you should do it.
Yeah.
And I listened to him and I started saving money at that time. And I remember at one point I said, okay, that's it here. I love it. But I know that people love their jobs there, but that life for me I didn't feel fulfilled.
You had to take the leap of faith.
Honey, I packed up my car. Ella, she was an explorer. Ella mm-hmm. the explorer. Packed her up and moved out west. Mm-hmm. And then literally within a year or so, I was going to audition for Drag Race.
Yeah. So listen, I feel like, why don't we talk about Quip? And we should be talking about it because it's just the way you need to be brushing your teeth. And it's actually kind of changed my life, and I know it's changed Bowen's life. We often talk about how great it is. It's so easy. It's just like, it's the revolutionary method of teeth cleaning. It's actually rule of culture number 346. Quip is the revolutionary method of teeth cleaning. And here's why, you guys. The sensitive sonic vibrations are gentle enough on your sensitive gums that you're not like damaging them. I know Henry, my ex-boyfriend, would look at my toothbrushes and he would be like, it looks like a dog used this. I don't know. I'm a hard brusher. I don't know if that shocks you, you the fans out there, that I'm someone who like, I don't know, brushes the shit out of my teeth, but I do want them to be white. And sometimes that can be counterintuitive when you're abusing your gums with brushes. With Quip, it's like, you know what? Just put it on your teeth, babe, and let Quip handle the rest. A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, helping guide a full and even clean. You know, up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes, and we don't even clean evenly. And here's the thing, like, you thought it was 90 seconds? No, hun. You need to be doing a full 2 minutes of cleaning, okay? And that's why you need Quip. It was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. I love a little tickle to my tooth. It's an electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. So here's the thing. You're not just getting the dentist-recommended toothbrush that you need. It's also designed to feel inclined. I don't know. I feel like that sort of worked. Why don't I just get to this call to action? Because you want to just figure out how to order this and you want to stop hearing me talk. I love Quip. You need Quip. And they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/dingdong right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/dingdong. 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 Ooh, the clubs are ringing. Deck the halls. Imagine if it was a Christmas toothbrush. You could paint it red and green. You can do whatever you want. Just make sure you order it. Bye. Get Quip. Okay, so this, now we've talked a little bit about your background. By the way, your Explorer was named Ella. I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo named Jeff.
Yes,
so that's
Jeff.
Just the different upbringings there.
Yes, Jeff
is
the
evident.
Jeep.
Jeff the Jeep. but I wanted to ask you, we ask all of our guests this question. So we talked a little bit about you as a youngster. But this is a question. What was the pop culture or the culture in your life that influenced you, that made you say, culture is for me? And what I say that, what I mean is like, what was the, whether it was like a movie or a particular musical artist or something that's like your thing that you were like, I feel this in a way that's like defining for me. Mm-hmm. Do you have like something in your life like that?
There were film, mm-hmm. one, I always loved. Movies like Sister Act.
Yes.
Mrs. Doubtfire. I love seeing artists on TV that were able to like go into a different character, like whether they were undercover or whatever.
Yeah,
and it
Whoopi.
Was hilarious. Yes, yeah. Hilariously funny. Yeah. And that was a part of my escape. You know, I grew up in Paris, Texas. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of gay culture or any of that. But there wasn't any particular, one particular music artist. I love Tina Turner. I love Beyonce.
I figured you loved Tina Turner.
Oh,
because we saw the Tina on Snatch Game.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an underrated Snatch Game performance. I will say that. Even with the hallelujahs.
Even with the hallelujahs. Okay, don't let Tina see it. But honestly, it was less the artist and more music.
Yeah.
High energy dance music just gave me this freeing feeling. If I could turn on something that had a good beat, mm-hmm. I just wanted to move. I wanted to dance.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of the energy of me. Like, I just love a good time. I love when you're just, you know, having fun. And that's why I love being on stage.
Yeah.
People go, are you exhausted 181 cities? I'm like, no, I get my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I really do. And then to be a part of this, you know, now to be working in Hollywood as an actor, it's still entertaining. It's the same energy. And the music in this film too, like all of that is just motivating. It's part of my thread. So I'm,
yeah.
That's it.
Just it's so crazy for your journey to end up at this particular, not end up, obviously it's still going.
Thank
over
goodness,
and beyond.
Honey, yeah, keep
R.I.P.
it moving.
No, I'm just saying like at this moment, for it to be literally A Star Is Born, which is a musical, which is, you know, Lady Gaga. It's going to be her breakthrough to the next level. And I hear you when you say you're not tired. You're not, well, you must be tired, but you're not like beat down by it. You're just excited about the 181 cities. How often do you ever get to like just sit back and be like, oh my God, like I get to actually do this each and every day of my life. And not only that, but it is at the highest level. This movie is going to win several Oscars. It might be nominated for like 11 or 12, I think.
You see my mouth just dropping.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, because I'm on the go so much, the London premiere happened. And
you looked stunning.
Thank you, boo.
Oh, my God.
Oh, thank you, my Diego Montoya gang.
Ooh.
But I will, you know, that was on Thursday. And then we had, quickly we popped into the after party. And then I had a show at GAY Heaven at 1 a.m. I was on stage.
Wow.
And then I had a meet and greet right after that. And then I showered quickly to get on my 6:40 a.m. flight because I had a show in Atlanta when I landed the next day. And then I had Latrice's wedding the next day. And then we flew to New York. So I really hadn't had a chance.
Congratulations, Latrice.
I know, right? Dropping that nugget in.
Yeah.
But that being said, I didn't really have a big moment to sit and be like, wow. This morning.
Wow.
I was going through Twitter, and now more people are seeing the film. And I can check, like, I try to check all my Twitter messages and DMs. Like, I'm on that.
Yeah.
I'm attached to my phone.
Yeah.
But I had so many, and people were saying such nice things about the film. I almost started crying. I was sitting there in the hotel, and I'm like, okay, girl, pull it together. But I was like, this is, wow.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And not just for me, but just to be a part of this film and to know, you know, how hard I've worked, but not just that, but like to be with Lady Gaga, mm-hmm. and Bradley Cooper and just an amazing cast and and to see the film again last night. I saw it last night.
Yeah.
And take it all in like, bitch, that is me up
That's
there.
That's you.
And in addition to that, like, this is an amazing, it's a great movie.
It is flat out so good.
I'm thrown. So the fans, it really is like, it's even in meet and greets and stuff around the world, I'll get messages and notes from kids or from anyone, and I read them in the dressing room or later on that night. And I'm like, this is cool to be a part of something that means something to people.
Yeah. I mean, well, you might not. You've seen it. You saw it last night. Is that the second time you've seen
it? That
was
the second time.
Well, in my experience seeing it last night, and I saw it at a press screening, there was applause when you came out. There really was.
Hallelujah.
And I know tonight, I told you, tonight I'm seeing it with, I swear to God, me.
Well, it was
like
me back there clapping, just right, so you know.
Of course. I thought I felt like a rhythmic clap to Working Girl, the song. I'm going tonight with like 30 gays. Like I even posted on my Insta story, like the ticket stub. I said, this is when we're going. Come buy a ticket. Let's sell out this theater. So I know everyone's going to go wild tonight when they see you. But even in like the screening, like, and I heard this woman next to me go, that's Shangela. to her colleague or whatever. That is Shangela. She's from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, she was in the know.
She was in the know. She had it all. She knew the cast. But, it's just crazy. And so I hope that you do give yourself those moments because it's just insane to me that you had to do a show at 1 a.m. after the huge London premiere of A Star Is Born. Yeah. You're in a photo with Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper. Let's get out the dress and do a gig.
Ta-da. I'm a working girl, honey.
Yes, you are.
I'm cashing checks, okay? But in addition, there are so many great fans in London, and I wanted to celebrate with them.
Of course.
Like, let's party. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time, but I'm learning how to take it in. Like, yeah. Have a second. I journal a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe for the memoir one day.
Of course.
Like Jennifer Lewis says, honey, write it down.
Yes. But make sure it's dictated and notated.
Okay. Exactly. So I did journal a lot about it, and sometimes I go back and read it because it's like, wow, this is a cool moment, but I hope to have many more. You know, hopefully this is just a great start. I'm hoping to get more visibility and just, you know, people to understand that not only am I a drag entertainer, but I also am interested in working as an actor.
Do we have more projects lined up on the pipeline?
Oh, you know, sister's always got a job coming, honey. Yes, I'm actually filming an episode for a Netflix series this weekend. I'm featured in a couple episodes of Alyssa Edwards' new docuseries on Netflix.
Okay, I wanted
Dancing
to ask
Queen.
About the House of Edwards. How are things there? Things are good?
Oh, yeah. Alyssa and I have been friends for, God, before even there was a Shangela. I used to backup dance for her in Dallas in the pageants. So it's really cool. Like, then I was on Drag Race and then she was on Drag Race and we toured together. We've been great friends for a very long time. So it's really cool to be able to celebrate each other's accomplishments right now as well. And then I wish Laganja as well. She's all over the place. I think she just landed in Beirut today to do a show tonight. So everyone's on their tracks doing their thing. And we always like, when we circle back, high five, girl, keep it moving.
Yes. We want to see her on All Stars, I think. Laganja. I'm surprised she hasn't been on.
You know, I do too. But you know, she's always said that she wants to focus on her dance.
That's
as well.
True.
She started that Laganja's dance school thing that she did. Mm-hmm. I know that she was teaching at Young Arts, a program in Florida. So she's on her, and then she was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
no.
So You Think You Can Dance.
So You Think, yes, yeah. Yes.
And that was wild too. And it's crazy, like Alyssa and Laganja, it feels like dance education is really like in their blood. They truly love that.
Well, Laganja was a student at Alyssa's school and also taught at Alyssa's school in Dallas. I used to back up dance and do our rehearsals at Alyssa's dance studio in Dallas. So she's created a really great home for a lot of people. And that's why we're so happy. You know, I love her as my friend and so excited for her.
Yeah. Have you always been a dancer ever since a young age? Because it seems like you've been.
I've always been excited to dance. I have never been trained, but I did meet Judith Jameson once at SMU, which is where I graduated from in Dallas. And all my friends, you know, that's where all the gays were, okay? Mm-hmm. All the gays were in the dance department. So I used to go, of course, not all of them, but a lot of the dance department was the gays. So I would, when I just first came out when I went to college, I was 18. Mm-hmm. So it was a whole new world for me. And a lot of them have been out since, you know, forever. They're from New York and I was from Paris, Texas. So
people
really
from
cool.
all over this country came to this college despite it being in Texas.
Well, yeah, the Meadows School of Dance is one of the like most respected dance schools in the U.S. as well for arts. So, I just remember I took one class over there and I thought, oh, honey, I'm a dancer now.
Yeah.
I'm a dancer.
Yeah.
I love to dance.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a great way to like have a great time and communicate with people. Plus, I know I talk a lot, but Latrice's wedding, me and Bianca had cut the rug, honey.
Were all the girls at the wedding?
Well, it was me, the ones that were there, because it was also during New York Drag Con weekend.
Right.
But it was in Atlanta. It was me, Bianca, Willem, Manila, I'm forgetting Kennedy, Jasmine Masters.
So fun.
Yeah, so we all had a great time there.
That had to be the dance floor.
Oh, honey, you know, we'll move over. She didn't even book us, but we did a booking, okay?
Oh, there we go. Were we all in drag?
No. No one was in drag.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say.
But a lot of people at Latrice's wedding did come in drag. And it was such a nice thing. You know, we get to see each other in the clubs a lot or working, but to be there like in our little suits and ties and like celebrating our friend and their love for each other, Latrice and Chris, it was really special.
How long have they been together? Many years.
Yeah,
right?
They've been together for a while.
Yeah, because I remember on Latrice's season, she had this moment where she said she didn't know if she believed in herself getting married.
Yep.
So now we have obviously the turnaround.
Well, she said that too during her speech in between the tears. It was so many people were crying.
It
Lord
had to
have
be
mercy.
So beautiful.
I was like, Lord, I'm crying over here. I'm gonna ruin my good light base powder. But yeah, she said that I never thought this would happen for me. I really didn't believe in it. And this person, Chris, has changed my life and changed my mind. And that's really cool to see that. You know, it's been an emotional week. Saturday, that wedding. And then when I saw A Star Is Born last night, bawling again.
Truly.
You know?
You can't help it.
You can't. You really can't.
There's so many scenes in that movie where it's just like, you feel the tears coming down your face and you didn't even expect it.
Well, you know, I was trying to be all professional. So I was doing the quick wipe, you know, yeah. When you swipe it like real fast, like here comes a tear, whoop, and it's gone. But there were so many because the movie is so powerfully emotional. And I love that we get to bring some light and fun to it as well. But it's a great.
That's a thing too. I didn't expect it to be as funny as it is.
Like, well, girl, like, I was in it.
Well,
of course
you're in it. But like, even like Gaga. Like, there's a scene where she overpours a shot, and just the way she reacts to it is so funny. Like, little things that you don't see from her because you never see her out there being the grounded Lady Gaga. You know, you see. And for so many years, I thought when people were like, maybe she'll act one day, I was like, but who is she? There needs to be, like, we need to see who that is. And now you truly see who that is. And just, I'm so excited to see more
of that. Well, in seeing the film, you saw two people at the top of their game really going in with these characters. I swear, it was like a masterclass. The performances alone deserve the accolades, whatever they may be, to come, because you could take, they were amazing together.
Truly.
Amazing chemistry. But you could take those performances and sit them by themselves and look at them and be like, oh, she was doing that. Even, especially other people, Sam Elliott, Anthony Ramos, the great, great performances.
So good.
Andrew Dice Clay. Sickening.
Truly great. And like such a believable father to that character. And you could tell, I think I read an interview with Bradley that was saying that they had seen major names for that character. Like, I heard the word De Niro floated through the air.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah. But then you meet someone like Andrew Dice Clay and it feels so right.
Yep.
And I love like the kind of atypical casting in this movie. Like, you would never think Andrew Dice Clay, Dave Chappelle.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
Shangela.
Shangela. But the thing is, I think that is the coolest thing. And I think that's like part of another credit to his directing and his eye. It's just like, he knew exactly what he wanted. He also knew when to listen to her and her instincts. And she obviously said, we must get Shangela at Wilm for this movie.
Like, I'm thankful. I told her when we were together at the Soho House in London. Didn't that sound fabulous?
Oh, baby. That sounds so fabulous. When we were at the Soho House.
Me from Paris, Texas. Over to when I was sitting with Lady Gaga at the Soho House in London.
In my guiche.
Yes, in my guiche, darling. With my mom there, by the way, who had flown over from Texas.
Great.
She said to me, Shangela, when I saw you on the carpet tonight, this is a true story.
Wow.
I can say this. It's private, but I'm going to say it. She said, when I saw you on the carpet tonight, I looked over and I said, that's a star.
Wow.
And I don't, you know, I was, that's not even where my head was thinking. I just was happy. I was, you know, standing in the corset was so tight. I was like, I can at least kind of breathe.
Yeah, let's sit.
But she, and I said, thank you so much, but you have no idea. I'm in awe, like I'm bowing in homage and worship to you. You gave me such a great opportunity. She goes, all right, now keep it going.
Yes.
She said, keep it going. And I will forever be grateful to her and to Bradley for what they've given me with allowing me to be involved with this film.
There's just so much beauty emanating from her. You know what I mean? Yes. There's just so much obvious love for our community, so much obvious love and passion for what she does. And I do feel that from him as well. And it's so interesting you mentioned the chemistry between them. You fully believe that they fall in love in this movie.
Yes.
In seconds.
Yes.
I mean, like that, there's like that this sequence of them spending like a night together. Mm-hmm. And they don't sleep together at first. It's kind of just very kind of like very meet cute. They have this like wild night where these things happen in a bar, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just like, this is such a, and we've seen this, A Star Is Born before. Have you seen the other Star Is Borns?
Yes.
Yeah. So we've
not
seen,
all of them, but I've seen some of the Barbara.
Yeah, yes. She's familiar.
Yes.
We're familiar with the Barbara version. But the thing is like, it just feels so new and so authentic. And what I feel about the movie is it feels like a big Hollywood movie, but it also feels very small. Like that scene with the cake on her face.
Yes. Or the scene in the parking lot.
Yes.
The way that it was shot was really cool. And it almost felt like when you see a really cool indie movie, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a true testament to the directing and everyone who worked on this film. It was fantastic. And the chemistry, you're exactly right. Because, you know, this is Bradley's, I think, modernization of this story. And
right.
He kind of like revisualized it. And you could see there from the previous versions, this one is like a retake on it. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And sex. I mean, just the chemistry between the two is hot. As we were standing there, I was like, ooh, I wish his character had fallen in love with mine, but okay.
Yes, I know. I would have, even in his like alcoholic despair, I was like, you can't deny this is still Bradley Cooper.
Hallelujah.
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 Honestly. And the thing too is like, I saw it in like, it was a good theater that I saw it in. It had the Dolby Digital.
Oh, yes. When you feel it in your seat.
Okay. For real, because you really think you're at a real rock concert. Like this, like just like, I'm gonna straight up, and Charlie is nodding. publicist Charlie, who we love.
Yes.
What, why do you wince? You don't like the spotlight? Oh, no, he demurs. The sound mixing and the sound editing, listen to me sound like a fucking film
I love
guru.
It. I love it. These are the awards that are given out at 6 o'clock.
Yes, honey.
Very important.
These are the awards that were cut from this year's broadcast.
Very important, though.
But they are important. I was saying, I saw my friend Amanda, and I turned to her, and I'm like, are we at this concert? I can almost smell it.
No, it was because the music is such an integral part of this film, because it also tells the story.
Yes.
It made me feel like, you know, I've been to every Gaga tour. I've been all of them, okay?
Yeah, you've been the fan.
I am the, okay?
Yeah.
So it when you're seeing her and she's playing at that piano and the camera's right there in that face, but you feel it. You feel the music and it's part of the emotion, and that's why this film does have so much heart. That's why people cry.
Yeah.
Because you are in it. You are in it. And I hope that if anyone watches it, they get to feel it the way that we've seen it and felt it.
Yeah. I mean, truly, there's a couple scenes, like, not to give anything away, but there's just a couple scenes with, like, between the brothers that'll get you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously scenes between them. The final song, there's a certain cut at the end of the song that will destroy anyone with a heart.
Yep.
It's just crazy. And I'm thinking, like, I also can't wait for the soundtrack.
Oh,
like, it's coming out,
I guess,
tomorrow.
I've got it on pre-order.
You got it?
Yes. Well, I don't have this.
Right.
But I have it pre-ordered. But, you know, I got Shallow. That's really all I need
Shallow
for the moment.
Shallow is doing just fine, Vern. I didn't know if you get, like, a special pre-order Shangela copy that Ms. LG said.
LG, send it to me, LG, please.
We're about to get it. And that's another thing, too, is, like, you watch the movie and, like, you hear little snippets of songs and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, what's that? Like, that makes you wait for the soundtrack because, of course, you're not going to hear every whole song.
I'm about to break into the SNL, to a performance song right now, but there's so many good ones. Like, I'm just, and when you see the pre-order, there's a lot of tracks on there.
Yes.
So you want to just like click through and get your life.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those walking through New York kind of albums, you know, where you had the headsets in, mm-hmm. you're like, I got to go from 30th Street all the way up to the 60s. Watch me walk, pump it with this album.
100%. I have a question for you. Who is inspiring you right now, whether it's another queen or like a certain like artist besides Lady Gaga, who we've discussed in full? Is there someone that you're watching right now out there that you're like, okay, I think they are?
I'm going to ramble a couple names to you because I really am inspired by these people. first and foremost, Jennifer Lewis.
Yes.
I mean,
the legend.
The legend. And I'm so grateful, and I've been blessed that I get to, you know, I moved into her basement 7 years ago, and I've never left because I get a masterclass in Jennifer Lewis.
Still
at all
to
times.
This day?
Oh, honey, still to this day.
Wow.
Rent control. She always tells me, oh, baby, don't worry. When you come home, your things are going to be at the street. You're too big of a star now.
Oh, this is what she says.
But she's like my LA mom, mm-hmm. and she's taught me so much. She's been in the business 30 years,
yeah.
and she's weathered the ups and the downs of the world of entertainment and still managed to hold on to herself, be successful, and be a good person. And like that inspires me at all times. In addition to her, Beyonce. I saw Beyonce on the Run tour just recently in Dallas, and seeing, knowing where she is in her world and at her level, but the fact that she still gets out there and gives you 110.
Everything.
There ain't no dial in. There ain't no phone in. She goes for it.
Always.
It makes me like, oh, Shangie, okay, I got to get to the house. I got to need new costumes. I need a new mix. I got to do better.
It's inspiring no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Like, even I do comedy and like stuff like that, but I saw her show. You know, I've seen her three times, but the most inspiring time I saw her was the Four album. She did four shows at Roseland Ballroom in New
yes.
York. Small. So I was like 100 feet away from her because you know I got there early. But this was the Four album, which to me is genius album. And Jay-Z is sitting up there like in the balcony watching her, and she is on top of the piano singing 1+1, giving the fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, this feels like a moment. There's the sound is all around you, giving her everything during End of Time. Choreo didn't miss a step, showing up every dancer, being the one.
Yep.
2 months later, she does the mic drop on the VMAs and she shows that she's pregnant. I was like, are you telling me that this woman was 3-4 months pregnant when that happened? Unbelievable.
Beyonce.
And that's all there is to say.
Yeah. So there's Jennifer Lewis, Beyonce, and then my good friend Lena Waithe. Now Lena and I, this is a fun story. Not a lot of people know this. Lena and I started around the same time as assistants in LA.
Really?
She was Mark Brown's assistant for a while working on the show Girlfriends for BET. And I was Jennifer Lewis's assistant. And Mark and Jennifer have been best friends for like 20, 30 years. So they're like, well, since we're best friends, you guys should know each other. So Lena and I would like go out to like lunch or whatever, hang out. And then we became really close friends. She wrote the first short film that I ever did about the time my car was stolen called Body of a Barbie. Yeah, Lena, after I told her the story, she was like, oh, baby, I'm writing this into a script. And she did and produced it, and it got on BET, like in a shorts festival thing. This was bad makeup, Shangie, way back in the day. I did my own look. And then, like, my car ran out of gas, like, twice. She's the friend I called to come pick me up, and she would come out there with a gas can. We're on the side of the 101 in LA, like, pouring gas into my car.
Yeah.
So this is, I've known her for a while, and I know how hard she's worked. And now to see her getting her shine, and she's such a smart person, but also a person who gets the job done.
Yeah.
And she encourages me, like, I'll be like, Lena, she's like, Lena, she's like, yo, look, you need to get your team together, yo, because, you know, this is your time.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna do it, bro.
You need to get it.
Yeah. And she's like, sometimes she'll tell me, like, I got a role for you, but you ain't never here. You on the tour. So when you coming home so you can do your job? And I'm like, I'm coming, Lena, I promise. So I love her so much, and she inspires me.
She's history making.
Okay.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And that is such a cool thing too. When you have a sense that the community that you're a part of is special. Mm-hmm. And then as you guys start working and working and working and things happen, you're like, wow, I was right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's super special.
It is. And it's amazing too. I love being gay. Ooh, I love being gay.
Yes.
And it took me a while, mm-hmm. because, you know, I grew up in a very Southern Baptist household. I was in church with my grandparents like every Sunday, and you would hear messages like gay is wrong and homosexuality and sin, you're going to hell. So I didn't embrace being gay.
How could you?
I thought, like, yeah. I'm gay, darn, wish I wasn't gay kind of thing. And then when I got out there on my own and started like learning about more of who I was and coming into my own and learning that everything that I do, I should love. If I'm a good person, I'm out there just being myself. There's nothing wrong with being gay. I'm gay.
Yes.
So then I was on this journey, and even being a drag queen, you just build up even more confidence in yourself. So people who love themselves also inspire me to continue loving myself. I'm so inspired by like kids too,
yeah,
that come to our shows and they're like, you know, figuring themselves out, or, you know, trans kids or gender non-conforming or whatever, because, or even like straight kids that just are like, that's my gay friend, I love her. Because I didn't get that until later in my life.
Nope.
So to see it happen for people who are younger, I'm like, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And it also takes, I've spoken with many people on this podcast that you know, sometimes looking at that generation, there is that little part of you that's like, oh, wow. If only I had been born 15, 20 years later, 5 years later,
yes.
Sometimes. It's like, I could have had that, but you have to be grateful for the adversity.
You do.
Because maybe you wouldn't be the workhorse that you are.
True. I tell people that all the time. They're like, don't you wish you would have won Drag Race 3? I said, no. Apparently I wasn't ready for it at that point. And even to this point when I didn't win All Stars 3, that wasn't in the cards for me, but I've never given up. And that means something to me, and hopefully it means something to someone else as well. And I think it's really cool how, like, that's why I love being a part of this movie. Because somebody, some little gay kid, is going to be able to go down to the Paris, Texas Cinema Movies 8.
Yes.
And see on one of those screens, there's Shangela, who grew up right down the street, you know, in this community, went to St. John Baptist Church. And there she is as a drag queen living her best life in this film. So not only does it mean something to me to be able to work as an actor, but it's a message as well that there is acceptance out there for you.
Absolutely. It's actually, you know what it is? It's literally a very Jennifer Hudson narrative.
Oh.
It's like, we did not win the gig, but we stole the whole show.
I applauded for her when she sang her song in Dreamgirls. She better applaud for me when I come on that screen.
Oh, please. Oh, my God. That's what we need is you guys to host the Oscars, you and Willem. How about that shit?
Oh, I love that. Host the Oscars. Host Miss Universe, Miss America.
Yeah.
Host it all, honey.
Again, we're saying yes to gigs.
So. Yes, we are. We're available.
I love
2019.
It. Okay. 2019, here we come. When does the tour wrap up?
December 31st. My last night is New Year's Eve in Columbus, Ohio at Axis Nightclub.
Come on, so, Columbus, Ohio, getting Shangela for New Year's.
They actually have Shangela and Alyssa Edwards together.
Well, that place is going to light on fire.
It is going to be great. Well, not with me in it, I hope.
Yeah, no, right after we leave. Okay, so we're going to do a segment that we do to wrap up the show. It's called I Don't Think So, Honey. You already know what this is, listeners. So we take 1 minute to rant against something in culture, pop culture, whatever, that we think needs addressing down. It can be anything, big or small. I'm going to go first. HPJ is going to thank you.
Oh, we have a timer.
We
have
a timer. It is 1 minute. I'm going to go first, and I'll 30 second myself. How about that?
Go off.
Ready? Here we go. This is Matt Rogers. That's me. My I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now. Okay, bitch. I don't think so, honey, when something is overbooked. If there is a number of seats, book that many people. And I especially mean this for planes. Because if I paid for a seat and then I'm going to have to tell my mother, hey, girl, pick me up at 3 p.m. at the airport. I slip, you know, the one. And she shows up and I'm not there because you overbooked. I don't think so, honey. You also potentially maybe I was at like a couple screenings and they didn't have enough seats. Okay. This is. I'm teasing. Not that one, another one. But I'm not going to be sitting on the ground. But luckily, we did end up with a great seat because some people didn't show up. But I don't think so, honey. The fact that I might have to sit on the floor, I need a thing for my juice. I need, it wasn't a juice, it was a slushy. But I need a little cup holder for it and something to put my popcorn down. Don't overbook, only underbook so I can put my legs on the seat in front of me. Until then, I don't think so, honey. Boom, and that's 1 minute.
You did that.
Okay, ooh. I got a little lost along the way because...
No, you had to get something off your chest, honey.
No,
I understand.
Because can I tell you, like, whenever I hear a story about someone buying a ticket to an airplane, on an airplane, and then they have to get moved when they paid the same money as everyone else, don't overbook.
Mm-mm.
Southwest Airlines, I'm looking at you. Don't worry, I said it, not you.
That's why I love me some Delta, honey.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Are you a Delta queen?
I'm Delta Diamond Fish, yes.
Delta Diamond Fish. Delta Diamond Fish might be the title of EP. That might have to be what it is. Okay, so I'm thrilled because Shangela, are you ready to do it? I don't think so, honey.
Oh, let me see what I'm going off about. I'm going off.
I know you can go off. Okay, so this is Shangela's I Don't Think So, Honey, and her time starts now.
Okay, I don't think so, honey. Miss Uber Eats, when I order something in the bag and I tell y'all I order french fries and my burger and my soda, when I get my bag and you have disappeared and I don't have all the things that I needed in my bag, and you know I was hungry for my meal. Now, my meal should show up warm already, okay? Because I've been tracking your process, and when I'm looking at 6 minutes and then it says 4 minutes and then it's back up to 6 minutes, did you make a pit stop for gas? Where are my things? And when I order french fries, I'm gonna need to have some ketchup. Now that should have been known. Why did I have to write ketchup on the order? You should know if a lady orders french fries, you bring her some ketchup, and might as well want to throw some mayonnaise in the bag too, because I like mayonnaise.
Please,
as well,
for mayonnaise.
Because let me tell you something, I'm sending my hard-earned money over here. Ugh. Okay, for to put my process, my mind, I didn't want to leave the house. I wanted you to bring my nice things, and I paid for it with my things. Because you want to know why? Because I don't have a sugar daddy. I never had a sugar daddy. If I want a sugar daddy, I can go out and get one, because I am what?
5 seconds.
Sickening. And with Uber Eats, I still might be hungry. Hallelujah.
And that's 1 minute. Wow, iconic. And it's actually rule of culture number, I'm going to say 52. If a lady orders french fries, there should be ketchup. Okay,
Ms. Like Uber Eats? Think. Thank you.
I also love personifying it as Ms. Uber Eats. Because I did see a woman, like, her glasses on, kind of, like, softly doing her job. Like, Ms. Uber Eats, you got to shape
up. She just picked up the bag and then dropped it in my hand and hit it. Because she knew I was going to hit no tip. So she was like, I already got my delivery fee. I'm good.
Yeah, whatever. I'm doing the bare minimum, Ms. Uber Eats. Okay, so this is what I have to say. Obviously, you know where I stand on the movie A Star Is Born, but go out there and see it for yourself. I'm actually going to go see it again tonight. As I was telling Shangela before, my mom also texted me and said, I got tickets for us Friday night. So that'll be the third time. And I did also promise my friend Sudi I'd go with her on Sunday. So are we going a what? Fourth time?
That's right. You can't stand up Sudi. No, ma'am.
No, we can't be standing up Sudi. This was such a pleasure and honor to have you on.
Thank you.
You really are just like... I mean, I don't have to tell you were my favorite on All Stars 3. You were also my favorite on Season 3.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go back.
That's my boo.
That's the Thank one. You. I was watching with Henry, my boyfriend, at the time.
Yes.
And I was like, I think Shangela should win. And he was like, I like Manila. And I was like, this is over.
We have divided a mini family. But you got to know, me and Manila reconnected at the wedding after many times of reconnecting. I love her so much. We had so much fun. She's married now. So maybe to Henry.
Come on. Oh, I'll have to. I know he's with someone.
No, she's with Mike.
Oh, his name is Mike. Her name is Mike. All right. Well, everyone, this is Shangela. This is Matt Rogers signing off. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening to Last Culture Recess. Go see A Star Is Born, or else you're far from the shallow now.
That's
my Bradley Cooper fish.
Far from the shallow now.
Yes. I love the lilt.
So why didn't they put me on the album, girl?
Come on, we need the working girl on the album. Thank you, Shangela.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.